and food. Contact associates with them do not obey them. But still, you have to keep them good company. That's their right. You have to be kind to them. You have to be nice. You have to be polite. They are your parents. By virtue of being your parents, you have to maintain politeness and kindness. But the one thing is, if they ask you to do something contrary to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stop them.
Considering that inshallah soon
they will abide by such advice. They will be waiting to provide good parental guidance. Now, I tell you that to do that, you have to start at the right point by choosing the right marriage partner. Because if you choose the right marriage partner for the right qualities, then you will be able together to build a family that is right to produce children. But if you choose for the right person, simply you are infatuated with the beauty of your own girl. So now you have to wait for God and you know all these things lead nowhere. Because the natural course of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is that things start with a kind of heat that both the wife and the husband have. But this does not stay at that level. Nature has to take its course, and then that kind of heat that you have for each other will be replaced by other equally important qualities that can maintain the relationship at this high level. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in telling us about his sign for marriage, he used two things. He said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُم مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. But mawaddah is the ultimate form of love, and the kind of love cannot be described by any other term other than mawaddah. But since mawaddah has ties, they have to be replaced with rahmah. Because, let's face it, if, there come certain qualities that will change the image that produced the mawaddah in your eyes, Allah will replace, inshaAllah, if you are so willing, with rahmah. So you continue to deal nicely with your wife and the wife of the husband because of this rahmah. So these two things come together. That is, if you follow the prophetic advice. And the prophetic advice is very clear that if you want to choose a husband for your daughter, there are two qualities that are almost identical. And these are
Think about it. So once the family is born and the children start to come, inshallah,
you have to really consider, how are you going to deal with those children? How are you going to provide the proper guidance for them? Before I get into 14 points that I put together, I would like to say that if you are someone who lives in a family where you know that your mother and father are constantly fighting with each other in front of you, who constantly show that they really are not that concerned about certain realities of life as you are without your child, you are not that well informed about how to deal with you, are you to despair and say, that's it for me, I am going to resolve by showing them that I am going to the title and tell them you will be fighting your heart and you are fighting your hair.
Feel comfortable that Islam
is being presented by anything but the Arabic language. Why is he saying that? Because all his life, he lived in Syria, and Arabic language of the Quran was taken for granted. The little children understood Arabic. Everybody understood Arabic. So, to talk about it in Arabic, the language of the Quran, was taken for granted. But let's say if today I come to you and start to talk to you in the Arabic language, how far will I get? But still, he still feels that no, everybody has to learn Arabic before they can learn Islam. Now, I have to remove it a little bit, I have to, you know, talk nicely to him, and I don't want to tell him, you know, what do you know, and you're about to know. I talk to him very nicely, alhamdulillah, you know, he comes back. But then he goes against his original position. So, number one, you have to understand the environment of our
order.
they will soon grow very tired of getting orders. Adjust your hijab. Don't like the way that you have shown it. Instead of, my dear daughter, did you look at the mirror? You know, something has to show. This goes, and the other one may not go. Your daughter may be scared of you. So you say, did you see that? You have shown it. I'm not going to go out with you. She may go and adjust her hijab. But she'll do it because she was scared. Not because she really understands the importance of having the hijab placed properly. Your son comes home one day with the traditional now silver necklace around their neck. Say, look at this! Big one! Have you seen? Say, They can't even communicate because you started by seeing instead of saying, you know what, my son, I know that many of your grandparents, but let me tell you the story of Omar al-Khattab. One day he was sleeping under a tree and the delegation from Persia came and they wanted to meet the emperor of the Muslim Empire, Omar. They didn't know who Omar was. And someone knew where Omar was and ran to him and said, Ya Omar, this is delegation for Persia, please. And Omar got angry at him. He said, we think we deserve to teach those people, not to just imitate them and learn everything from them like that. So you tell your son this and you say, if your friends are doing this, they don't know any better how we as males have to show that we have to display certain qualities and jewelry will dampen and unyield those qualities. This is really cool. I would love to be my son just showing this personality without jewelry. You know what? Your son, as you are, before you finish, will take it off and say, I'm ashamed of myself. You know, I tried it with certain boys. You know, I gave one 5 weeks ago in London, and as I was still talking from the minbar, you know, I saw many of them taking off their sweatshirts or just take it off, or, you know, why? Because it was with Hiwa, with good discussion. You know, look at Rasulullah. A man came to him, imagine yourself in this position, look at him. And then young man, came to him and felt comfortable. Look how Rasulullah said about me. He said, okay, I accept Islam, but I'm a young man. I cannot abstain from fornication and adultery. I can't. I have to do dinner. If you were in the position of Rasulullah said, what would you do? Get out of my face! It's not going to be complete like this. How can you do that? Because the companions of Rasulullah that they got them all did that. After this step. How did he deal with this? How did he convince this young man? He said, okay, if you'd like to do it, would you like this to be done? You know, to your mother? At all? To your sister? No! Your daughter, no! Your aunt, no! Well, if you don't like others to do it, your mother and you know, how will you do it today, sister? Right away. He said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me. And Rasulullah said, you know, they say a little bit. So Rasulullah said, just put his hand on his heart and he said, oh Allah, forgive his sins and purify his heart and guard his chastity. And you know, that young man never got, he hated the thought of that practice because of the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with it. Number four, you should give the talk to listening children. If you want to guide them, don't always talk to them. Put them in a position where they will get some responsibility to do things, and by doing things they will learn. You have to trust them. You have to teach them how to become responsible. And that's how you can give the best of guidance, by putting them in situations where they themselves have to do what you wanted them to do. You know, I have a friend who travels a lot, and she has a son who is, you know, about 14 years old. He leaves in England with his wife, the only son. He said, you know, I'm going to just give him money for his friend of the house, and I will tell him that he is the man of the house. And the wife is not present. What about me? No, look, when both the husband and the wife have the same or are working on the same wavelength, she wanted her son to learn the responsibility. She didn't say, no, I'm in charge here. She knew that it's for the benefit of the son. She said, yes. And the father said, you're in charge of the man of the house. I want you to take care of your sister. I want you to help your mother. If your mother wants something, you know, you just, you know, give her the expenses and things like that. And you know what? His son, he alleged, okay, that I've been this, I've done this, I've done this. And when his father comes, he just shows him what he has done. And he's so proud of his achievement. Is this good or is this bad? Tell me, is it good or bad? This good. You are giving guidance to your children by showing them that they are so important. Number 5, you have to give your children the opportunity to express themselves. To express them. Sometimes, boys express themselves physically. You know, I have 5 daughters and 1 son. My experience with my daughters is that they were so gentle in expressing themselves. MashaAllah, you know, my son, when he wants to play, he is jumping and he is talking. You know, one thing, just to break the monotony. You know, he listens to me when I give khutbahs and things, and only last week, see, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our children, you know, the happiness of our life. Out of the blue, we were sitting together as a family, and he comes close to me, and he started to give the khutbah my time. He remembered Allah and Muhammad Rasulullah. So he started saying, Allah was Muhammad Rasulullah, and we heard him. He's learning. He knows that there's something that he one day will be doing. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he learns it and he will do it, because this is how you can provide proper guidance to your children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, as he was preparing an army for one of the battles, 2 big young boys, one called Sumrah ibn Jundub, and one was called Rafi' ibn Qudaysh. They were very young. They wanted to join the army. It was a game. So Rasulullah said, no, you are still too young. You have to go back. When you become older, I will allow you to join the army. So Rafi' said, ya Rasulullah, I am very good. Spear, I throw the spear very well. He said, you show me. So he threw one after the other. He was really good. He said, okay, I will allow you, Rafi', but Sumrah said, ya Rasulullah, if I will wrestle with Rafi', I will knock him down. He said, you show me. So they wrestled, Sumrah and Rafi', and Sumrah was able to knock Rafi' down. He said, okay, both of you join the army. So he allowed them to express themselves. He knocked them out, go and play home. This is how the item number. You have to realize that your children, as they are growing, they need love and affection. They need to be hugged. They need to be kissed. They need to be played with. They need to play voice on you. They need to tell you jokes. If you just present that serious atmosphere, when you come home, the whole house will come to a standstill, because you are the father, you are the head, and you are misguided yourself. You're misguided. Rasulullah used to play with his young wife, Aisha. Rasulullah, whenever he would see Aisha and his older wife, Sauda, playing with each other. You know, Sauda was very old, and Aisha was very young. He loved playing with Sauda in ways that Sauda allowed him to do. And Rasulullah would laugh and would enjoy it. And would, you know, at once, Abu Bakr, Aisha's father came. Aisha was having some fun with her friend. See, Rasulullah said, "Tell her, now you are married. You cannot allow your friend. You are." No. They did not tell her. And they were having some fun. And then Abu Bakr came and said, "How can you do that in the house of Rasulullah?" Rasulullah, "No, Abu Bakr, this is Eid. Let them have fun. Let them enjoy themselves. This is Islam. Don't sway yourself from the easy path, the middle path of Islam. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْتُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And in of the middle path. Number eight. Look at this. Rasulullah used to have a practice that today we have all the time, but we don't pay attention to the practice of Rasulullah. Whether he would have a chance, in every, we say, Yurdim. Whenever he will go on a journey, he used to Yurdim, which means that he will ask someone of the young people, of the youth, to ride behind him. And as he is riding behind him, he will pass the time by giving him lies and stories and things, will give him da'wah as he is traveling. Nowadays, how many times we get a 401? How many times we travel with our children? And you know what? The father, "Don't talk to me, I want to concentrate on the road." Nobody said, "Don't concentrate." But our ability as human beings is that we can concentrate on the road at the same time. Imagine, 2 hours, you have your children just ready to pass time properly. Tell the stories of the Quran. Tell them how much you love them. Ask them 50 questions about Islam, about anything. Just let them know your company. Because they are worthy. They are worthy. Because they are lying in the car behind you. You have them with you. This is the best time for guidance. Number 9. Be compassionate. Oh, you know, you forget very quickly that they have certain abilities. For example, if your son or daughter is maybe playing with her sister or her brother or the brother's brother, well, they have had some time. And they have dealt with you with the kitchen, they have done everything that you wanted them. And as someone in the middle of having someone, you just said, "Aisha, Fatima, go and fix the doors in your room because last week all that in a mess. Go and eat them now." You know, don't stop them because they go and do it. But they will realize themselves that you were the cause of disrupting their fun. You should know when you ask. If it happened like this for a week or a month, don't ask them to fix it while they are in the middle of their fun. When they finish, when they are not doing anything, this is your check. Aisha, you finish your studies, you finish your school work, yes, you're not going to, "No, mother, I don't have anything." "I have something for you, I have a project for you. Now, I am going to ask you, are you my mom now? Can you work like your mother? Or are you spending? Let me show you, I'm going to do it like this, you meet, and then I will come in half an hour and I will see what you've done." This goes, and just giving orders. Go and fix it, and we're all having fun. That's not personal guidance. Number 10. You should always instill in them that they have certain talents. Always, even if they don't have them. You should. You know something, I give one example. I put up a nation of both parties. I know one of the Tabi'in. Tabi'in, those who were close about 200 years after Rasulullah. You know, one of those Tabi'in saw a young boy just learn how to write. Out of the blue, he said, "Your handwriting is so similar to the handwriting of those who specialize in hadith, in compiling hadith. This young boy, I forgot who it was, grew up to be one of the best hadithim. And when asked, why did you choose this scholarship? He said, because of so and so, when I was a boy, told me that my handwriting is so similar to that of the writing. Just mentioning one thing, I remember, I tell you, my Arabic teacher in Lebanon, discovered that I enjoy the Arabic language. For 7 years he taught me, and he would give me the average mark in Arabic. And I didn't know I deserved more, but he would bring me and say, you can still do it as best. He would give me more homework than the others and said, I hope this special to you, and when you would want it, he would give me still, you know, 12 out of 20, 11 out of 20, I'd say, but you're bad. No, I would let him know, you still have something to do, you still have something to learn, you still this and this, until I graduate from high school, and I remember, I still have that exam paper with me, when he gave me 19 out of 20, and he wrote, he said, now I can tell you that you know Arabic language.
Yes.
When you tell him this Arabic language, because all years I knew what I was writing for you. So, you know, that gave me the enthusiasm to seek better levels in the Arabic language because of what he told me. And I tell you one thing, again, it's not always good. I am not that eagle. At times, you know, I would have the tendency to go with the crowd, go with the flow. I remember I was 11 years old, and I had, they call it a talent, to make impressions of others. Like if I see somebody, I can make impressions of them. To the extent that others used to tell me that it's unbelievable, it's amazing. So I became so proud of this talent at age 11 that I started to imitate every teacher we had. And I started to overdo it. I started to go beyond limit when, you see here, nobody can do it because they will take the teacher to court. But back home, I thank God for having these teachers. I still remember and I still hear the echo of that slap I received on my face from a teacher that changed the course of my life. And I thank this teacher because it was this slap on my face that adjusted my path and brought me back to where I was. Because had I know, 5 minutes, okay? It was this plan that adjusted my course. Now, I'm not advocating violence. Because you say that they just charge you with a case of violence. The other way, what happened at that time? Now, I believe it's number 10. 11. Whatever. Teach your children how to make decisions. Life is becoming more complicated as you have to teach them how to participate in making decisions. Sit with them. Sit with your son, with your daughter. They are in grade 12 or grade 11. What do you want to do? Help them to make their own decisions. Don't say, no. You want to become a doctor. But father, you want to become a doctor. It's fine. But father, that's it. It's fine. May God bless the soul of my father. He did that to me. But it so happened, just happened by chance, that I liked medicine. So I became a doctor. I remember I didn't dare to just say no. He said, you will be a doctor with your brother. My brother, my younger brother, you know, was more of a rebel than me. He said, no, I'm becoming an engineer. There was a period of struggle, but he became an engineer, okay, and I became a doctor. But don't do that, children. make them participate in making decisions. That's the best form of guidance you can provide for them. And they did some kind of statistics that the children, grade 1, 100% of them express themselves, because children, since they talk, they talk about anything, you know? And I actually, 2 days ago, my wife told me that it was an embarrassing situation. She was holding my son. She went to the teacher, parent night. And you know, she had to meet the teachers and talk with the teachers and all of that. And then, you know, my son was my wife's car. You know, the teacher was talking to my wife. And you know, he started to talk with her about something related to sister. You know, and it was a personal thing. And my wife was, okay, Muhammad. He went on and on. Because children just express themselves. They want to talk. By the time they come to high school, 100% expression of themselves is down to 14%. Which means that 86% of our youth are scared now to express themselves. Because we did not help them to do that. Don't make a mistake. And now number 11. Well, make them become interested in serious activity. Next, number 12, I believe, make sure you ask your child to make you part of choosing their friends. Don't let your children choose their friends alone. Be part of the equation. And when you meet the friends, invite them over. You know, make a party before them in the summer. Ask to meet their parents and try to, and you know, we have a community whereby we can be friends to our children from the community. And even if they have friends from our community, alhamdulillah, it's a form of da'wah that is so wonderful. But make sure you know who the friends of your children are. And number 13, you have to be, listen to this, you have to be firm but friendly. I don't do that right now. Firm, consistent, don't say one thing today and fall under pressure today and tomorrow. If you know it is the right of your children, be firm. That's it. But be friendly. So when you tell your children, don't tell them with a frown. Use the other advice that I gave before. And finally, be a good example for your children. You don't expect your children to be one thing that you are not. Because the children emulate your example. And as Ibn Qayyim said that most of the attributes of children are due to their parents. If you are indecisive, you couldn't care less about the future of your family, you are rude, you are this, you are that, most of the children may grow up exactly like you. Be very careful. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much, Peter. We have a few minutes left for questions, and I think that we will oblige any questions from the audience.